Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
Let's go ahead and pray and get into today's sermon. Heavenly Father, I thank you to God for the opportunity to be here before your people. I pray to God that people will be impacted, will be changed, dear God, that the word of God will move, dear God. And I thank you, Lord, that your word is not limited to just this place that we are at, but your word says that your word will not return void. So, dear God, we thank you for that. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So I'm going to talk about speaking the word today. Today, when we turn on the news, they are speaking a word. And many times the word that they are speaking is death, financial disaster, panic, despair, and hopelessness. But I want you to know that that's not the word that God is speaking. I always tell people that if you're around me enough, you know that I always say that God is still God. He is still in control. Nobody is taking his throne from him. He's not panicking. And we as his people have to trust that his word is strong enough. A couple weeks ago, I did a quick commercial talking about some trust in horses, some trust in chariots, but we will believe or we will trust in the name of our God. And we have to continue to do that despite what it looks like. And my question to you is, whose report, as some of the old church folks, people say, whose report do you believe? We have to believe a report. Whether you know it or not, you believe a report, and you must believe the report of the Lord. And how do you do that? You do that with faith. You do that trusting that God's word is real. Amen. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to go to a couple of passages today that deal with the word of God. Sometimes we are in situations and we feel like we have to find a way to get to God, but God's word is clear. We actually have the Bible everywhere, so we don't have to go through different places. But we're going to talk about it. First, we're going to talk about King Saul. King Saul was led by one of the prophets, one of the greatest prophets in the Bible, Samuel. And you can actually find this in 1 Samuel chapter 28. But the prophet Samuel had passed away, and Saul needed a word from God. Now, this is very interesting to me because Saul actually, there was a time in the Bible when he first became king where he was prophesying. He was with the prophets. They thought he was a prophet because he was with the people prophesying. So there was many times where Samuel began to do many different things, and it caused him to lose the voice of God. And because he was struggling with obedience, struggling with following God with his whole heart, it caused him to do some weird things. So we're going to go to this chapter, 1 Samuel chapter 28, verse 3. And I'm going to read some of this. It says, now Samuel had died, and all Israel had lamented for him and buried him in Ramah in his own city. And Saul had put the mediums and the spiritists out of the land. So that was a good thing. Then the Philistines gathered together and came and encamped at Shunem. So Saul gathered all the Israelites together, and they camped at Gilboa. When Saul saw the army of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart trembled greatly. See, this is what happens. Many times fear will come, and it will cause us to do something that we are not normally accustomed to. Now, this is my thing. They fought this same Philistine army for years, and they defeated them plenty of times. God did miraculous things. God obviously used David to catapult this whole thing. And they continue to fight against the Philistines. But in this instance, the reason why Saul was afraid was because of his relationship with God was not the same that it used to be. And I'm going to say this, the more that we miss spending time in God's presence, the more we will begin to be subject to the spirit of fear. But God has not called us to be subject to that spirit. He has called us to be obedient to the spirit of God. Amen. So we saw them that he was afraid and his heart trembled greatly. And then it says in verse 6, and when Saul inquired of the Lord did not answer him, either by dreams or by Urim or by the prophets. So what we see is God is not answering him. And I don't know about you. I think we've all been into that place where we prayed and we're like, God, give us an answer. What's the answer, God? Can you share something with us? And it just sounds like crickets are going. You know, you're like, oh, man, well, God, let me do this. Let me pray a little bit more. And I'm going to tell you this. Sometimes that's a good place because God wants to draw you even closer to him. And that could have been what was happening with Saul. But because he was in a spirit of urgency, he was in a spirit of an urgency and he needed something now, because if the urgent matter didn't get answered, it was going to be an emergency. Right. So he was stuck in a tough place. Right. And we have to know that God is still in control despite our tough circumstances. So it says he couldn't get an answer verbally through God or even through dreams or through the prophets. Then it says, then Saul said to his servants, find me a woman who is a medium that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said to him, in fact, there is a woman who is a medium at Endor. Now, first of all, that servant should have been kicked out. All right. Because it said prior to this that Saul had got rid of the mediums and the seers and these people. What those people were people that tried to get to God another way, through witchcraft, through sorcery, through. I mean, now you have people that do palm reading. They look into the crystal ball, all these different types of ways to try to get a right now word. But that's not the word that God has. So we see Saul goes. And it says in verse 8, he disguised himself and they went. And in verse 9, it says, then the woman said to him, look, you know what Saul has done. He has cut off the mediums and the spiritists from the land. Why then do you lay a snare for my life to cause me to die? And Saul swore to her by the Lord. It's crazy, huh? Saying, as the Lord lives, no punishment shall come upon you for this thing. Then the woman said, whom shall I bring up for you? And he said, bring up Samuel for me. When the woman saw Samuel, she cried out with a loud voice. And the woman spoke to Saul, saying, why have you deceived me? For you are Saul. And the king said to her, do not be afraid. What did you see? And the woman said to Saul, I saw a spirit ascending out of the earth. So he said to her, what is his form? And she said, an old man is coming up, and he is covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed down. Now, this is not him bowing down to Samuel. What they're trying to do is conjure up dead people, right? So this is why this is wrong. He might have went to the right person, but it was the wrong time because that person was no longer living. So it says, now Samuel said to Saul, why have you disturbed me by bringing me up? And Saul answered, I am distressed, deeply distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God has departed from me and does not answer me anymore, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore, I call to you that you may reveal to me what I should do. Then Samuel said, so why do you ask me, seeing that the Lord has departed from you and has become your enemy? And the Lord has done for himself as he spoke by me, for the Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hands and given it to your neighbor, David, because you did not obey the Lord nor execute his fierce wrath upon Amalek. Therefore, the Lord has done this thing to you this day. Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with you into the hands of the Philistines, and tomorrow you and your sons will be with me, which means they will be dead. And then it says, the Lord will also deliver an army of Israel into the hands of all the Philistines. Okay, so then Saul, he's distraught. He's like, oh man, I didn't want that word. And really what happens is what we see is because he was not obedient, because he was not staying in a right relationship with God, he couldn't hear the word of God. So we're talking about speaking the word, but in order to speak the word of God to your situation, you got to hear what God is saying. Amen. So we have to be obedient. We can't be disobedient. This is a time now that we need to do inventory on ourselves. The Bible says, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. That's a prayer that we can constantly be praying so that we can be in a place that God wants us to be. And when we do that, we can hear God's voice clearly. Amen. So somebody say, do not be in despair. Be in right position so you can speak the word and hear the God. So here's a couple of things that I have. When you are not hearing God, some of the things that you can do is press harder. Press harder into the presence of God. Like I said, I've been there. I've known people that they get saved and it's easy to hear God when you first get saved. And then there's those times where God is beginning to draw you deeper. So he wants you to spend more time in prayer. He wants you to spend a little more time in the word so that you can clearly hear him. But it's important that we press in. Another thing that we can do is we must fast and pray. Fasting and praying is a way that we can hear God a lot clearer because we are ridding ourselves of all of the extra drama, of all of the extra things that are in our lives, mainly food. Sometimes you get rid of the social media, the games and all that. You get rid of the TV. You get rid of all those things so you can focus on what God is saying. And that's very important. And I think it's important to understand that God, first of all, we always have his word. They call that the logos word. We always have his logos word. But the more we are in connection with God, the more he can reveal a rhema word, which means a right now word, a word for your situation in the place that you are right now. So I always say fasting, praying, reading the logos word. And many times he'll even remind you. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit will remind you of the word of God. That means you got to be in your word. Amen. So get in your word. I'm going to talk about Daniel a little bit. Daniel had a situation in chapter 10 of Daniel where he was in need of God in prayer. So he started fasting. He didn't pray. It said that he didn't allow anything that tasted good to come to his mouth. And boy, that's tough. But he did this for 3 weeks. If you add that up, that's 21 days. And there was an angel that was coming to him to answer the prayer. Basically, a word was coming to him. And that angel was held up by the demons that were fighting to keep the word coming. So I don't know if you know this, but the enemy doesn't want you to hear God's word. The Bible says that even when the word is spoken, the enemy, the devil, he comes to snatch the word from you. So we have to, number one, pray. And if you are not hearing God and you need a word from God, begin to fast and say, God, bring it through. Bring it through. And basically, Daniel kept on fasting. So Daniel didn't go into this thing saying, I'm going to fast 21 days. That's not how that happened. He fasted until he got the word. He fasted until he got the revelation, right? He fasted until God spoke the word, the rhema word that he needed right then. And guess what? They didn't have the Bible like we had the Bible. So I feel like we are at an advantage because we can get into the word and God can instantly speak to you from what you are reading. But it's very important that we do not allow the enemy to keep us from hearing God's word. Amen. So whose reports will you believe? Whose reports will you believe? Because there's many reports out there. There's reports of, like I said, of death. They said that, they're going to open up the pretty much the cities and we're going to go out and there's going to be more deaths than before. They said that America's going to have more than, and I'm like, how do they got a revelation? Where did they get this? Because this sickness, we don't even know too much about, right? But they have a word of death, a word of panic that they are pushing. And we have to be as believers. We can't let that happen. We can't be like, oh, well, I don't know what I'm going to do. No, you have to trust God. Trust in his word. Amen. His report says, I am healed. Right. His report says, I am filled. That's one of the songs that I grew up listening to. His report says, I am free. His report says victory. I don't care what you are going through. Know that God is strong. Amen. And mighty. He's the strongest that you can get. Amen. Let's go to Psalms chapter 63. I'm going to read this chapter, just 11 verses. And I just want to remind you of these things. It says, O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. I'm going to stop right there. Early do I seek you. Now, I always tell you guys, if you guys hear me, I am not a morning person. But there are times, and I notice it gets more and more frequently, that I have to get up earlier than everybody else so I can just sit and be quiet in the presence of God so I can pray. But it says also, seek God like you are seeking for something to drink. Have you ever been thirsty? Have you ever been hungry and you were like, man, whatever I can do to eat? That's the way you have to seek God. Amen. It says, so I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory, because your loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise you. That's another thing. The more you praise God, the more you're going to see him move. Anytime people went out to war, they begin to praise first. So when your situation is all in disarray, you can say, no, 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 no. I know the God that I serve. I know that he is faithful. He is just. So I'm just going to praise him. Confuse the enemy. Let the enemy hear your praise. Let the enemy see you jumping and shouting and dancing unto God. Why? Because God is good despite where you are at. Amen. It says, verse 4, thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. It says, when I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches, because you have been my help. Oh, somebody needs to hear that. God is your help. You have been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me, but those who seek my life to destroy it shall go into the shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for jackals. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone who swears by him shall glory, but the mouth of those who speak lies shall be stopped. Now, when I read this, one of the themes of this passage is joy. You continue to have the joy of the Lord. We hear the word of God says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. When you are feeling weak, you gotta muster in the joy and say, God, you're good. God, you are good. There's nothing that you cannot do. There is no battle that you have not won. See, God is not, I'm batting 500. God is not batting 500. He's 100%. He hasn't lost a battle. We might have lost, but when we link up with him, when we link up with the works that he has done by sending his son to die on the cross, we have victory. So we walk in that. So we speak the word of God. Amen. Lastly, I'm going to say these few things. God's perspective is better than ours. Do you know that? It's funny because many times we think God is seeing things the same way we are, but he's up on high looking down low. And I don't know about you, if you ever try to do a maze when you're looking from your eye level, it's really hard to do. But if you can see from up top, you're like, oh, no, 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 you need to go this way, go that way, and you can make it through. God is trying to give us direction for the mazes that we're facing right now. And we have to trust that his perspective, his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Amen. So a couple of scriptures I'm going to leave you with. Jeremiah 29:13 says, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. If you can't hear God's voice, he is saying, seek me, find me, and search with all your heart. Amen. Then it says, when the world speaks these words, what does God speak? So when the world speaks panic, despair, and helplessness, God says in Isaiah 26:3, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. God wants you to trust. Amen. When the world says financial disaster, guess what? God says in Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all my needs according to not your riches, but his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And when the world is speaking death, when that's their message, the word of God says in John 10:10 that the thief come to kill, steal, and destroy. But I, Jesus, have come to give life, and not only just life, but life more abundantly. So we need to speak God's word to our situation. And I want to encourage you to do that today. Amen. God bless you.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.